ओम नमः प्रणवार्ताय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पातृतविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहं प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ये हि संस्पर्शजा भोगा दुःखयो नय एव ते आद्यन्तवन्तः कौन्तेय न तेषु रमते बुधः। भगवान् इस् टाकिङ्ग् अबौट् दि नेचर् आफ् ज्ञानी एण्ड् दि फलम् आफ् आत्मज्ञानम् एण्ड् is contrasting with that ordinary worldly pleasures. In the 18th shloka, he talked about samadarshanam as the jnana phalam. 19th shloka, sthitatva, that is, you conquer the miseries of life while living. Jivan Mukti is talked about. 20th shloka talked about the equanimity of mind in both Dukkha and Sukha. Mana, Apamana, Labha, Nashta, all the Dvandvas are there. No one can avoid. So, Jnani is a man of equanimity, a man of poise, tranquil, because of his knowledge. Then in 21st shloka, he talked about jnana phalam as the akshayam sukham, infinite ananda. While talking about the sukham enjoyed by the man of wisdom, in spite of absence of any of the sense pleasures, in spite of absence of any of the conducive atmosphere, in spite of absence of any second person in his life, still he is happy because of association with this simple knowledge that I am everything. So he may appear to miss all the worldly pleasures, but he don't lack in happiness. And he knows that the so-called worldly pleasures are nothing but reflection of my own real nature, Pratibimba Ananda, and subject to arrival and departure. Therefore, as a man of wisdom, he doesn't bother about what type of pleasures he will have in future life after the knowledge. Whereas, the ordinary person who doesn't have this knowledge about his real nature, as even setup is upset, he gets upset. If setup is nice, he says, I am nice. If setup is upset, he is upset. So he is always depend upon certain things, which themselves are depending upon some other thing. There is a pole. That pole is depend upon another pole, and you go and lean towards that pole. What happens? Along with the pole, you also fall. For a person who doesn't have knowledge in his life, nothing stands as a permanent entity. So he touches one thing and that thing falls. He also falls with that thing, then gets up. Again he goes to another thing and tries to hold on. That also falls. Only getting up, falling. Getting up, falling. That is the fate of the ordinary person. Here in this shloka, Bhagavan says, samsparshaja bhogaha dukkayonayaha. Who can say that the sense pleasures which are born out of contact between the sense organs and the sense object, who can say they are sukhayonayaha? People think that if things are there, I will be happy. Bhagavan says it is ignorance. In fact, they are dukkayonayaha. Any blessed thing you point out in your life, in the creation, Vedanta will point out the dosha. When it comes, if you are happy, you will be unhappy when it goes. When it comes, you are unhappy, you will be happy when it goes. Understood? Our Acharya Swamiji say, we feel happy when somebody comes in our life. We feel unhappy when somebody whom we don't want comes in our life. So some are the source of happiness wherever they go. Some are source of unhappiness wherever they go. So anything you point out in life, it has both. Therefore, adi antavantaha kaunteya, they have beginning and end. The very anityatva is the source of dukkha. Teshu buddha na ramate. An intelligent person don't indulge in those things. Here, very important word is na ramate is the word. Bhagavan did not say na bhujyate, he did not say. Nobody can avoid sense pleasures. Eating, nobody can avoid. While eating, you will have some pleasure. Correct? It is tasty. It is nice. Well cooked. Salt is pakka. You will have that knowledge. In spite of your wishful thinking, if you put bitter gourd in your mouth, it will taste bitter only. You cannot say, oh my dear tongue, please give the sensation of sweet whenever I eat bitter gourd. You cannot say. Tongue will show whatever it is. Or you cannot order. Whenever I eat bitter gourd, hey tongue, I order you. You are under my control within my mouth. So I order you. You show a sensation of eating jalebi or laddu. It cannot obey. So nobody can avoid sense pleasures. Certain music you cannot avoid. Hearing certain sounds you cannot avoid. Seeing certain things you cannot avoid. What Bhagavan says is, na ramate. Na ramate means he doesn't indulge. Who doesn't indulge? Intelligent person doesn't indulge. Then what he does? He make use of them, everything, reverentially. He make uses of everything. Neither he tries to reject, nor he can reject them totally. However much possible, food is for filling the stomach, not for tasting. There are gluttons who go on, eat and eat and eat, fill the stomach, then go and vomit. There was one culture, Greek culture it was. They are very fond of eating. So dinner will be 4 hours, 5 hours. From starter, soup, something they will start. Greek culture is there in everywhere now. What they do? Go on, gulp. Then when stomach is full, go to the restroom and vomit. Empty and come back. Sit and eat. Because in eating there is a pleasure. But the bag is a limited bag. How much you will eat? Bag is limited. The way to that bag is very sensational way. What is that way? The tongue. 6 centimeter area runs the industries of industries of industries. If Bhagavan would not have created the tongue, you imagine, no food industry. Simply you can plug any plant, anything and put in the bus. No taste means what? You have to fill the bag, that's all. Something you give. Correct? But Bhagavan, yadvai kritam tat sukritam, Bhagavan says. Veda says, whatever Bhagavan has created, it is a perfect. So we will not feel like eating. Simply filling the bag, what it is. Because of that tongue, taste buds they call it. So entire world runs. How many cuisines, how many hotels, how many restaurants, Baba, Bhagavan. Bhagavan is now wondering, what a human mind. With same one rice, paddy, they create how many varieties.
idli, dosa, masala dosa, rava dosa, variety. For what? All are only same paddy. If tongue is not there, you can take the paddy and put it in your mouth. No work. Because of tongue. So nobody can avoid getting sensations or pleasures through sense organs. But intelligent person will not spend his entire life in that. He will not indulge in that. In that object, he will not indulge. He will not have the philosophy, kavo piyo, maja karo philosophy. Intelligent person will not have. That means what? Whoever has that philosophy is what? Indirectly, Bhagavan says, idiots. They are all idiots. Therefore, Arjuna, you don't live that type of life. Now the question comes, is this rule, what is the rule? Anything which has arrival and departure will be the source of your unhappiness, is the rule. Is this rule apply only for this world or it applies even for otherworldly existence? Heavens and other places are there, na? Shastra says, whatever is rule here, the same rule apply everywhere. Rules are rule. Universal laws they are called. So you go to heaven, naturally you will be welcomed. Okay? You will be welcomed. First they will see whether you have visa or not, your punya karma or something, visa is there. If you have visa, proper visa, then you are welcomed. Ehi, ehi. Shastra says they call, it seems you. Aye, aye. So as long as that visa period is there, you can stay there. Once visa period is gone, chine punya, Martya lokam vishanti, this fellow falls down. If you have to fall down, somebody has to kick you. Shastra doesn't say he comes down. He says the fellow falls down who has gone to heaven, he falls down. He falls down means what? Somebody kicks you off. Whatever is the rule, is the same rule in any sphere of existence. And the same rule applies for any type of sense pleasure. There are varieties of sense pleasure, you know. Hearing certain fill, ordinary person is having happiness or pleasure. He gets some pleasure. Reading certain books, little bit higher category, gets certain pleasure. All through what? Chakshu Pramana, correct? Through Chakshu Pramana only, this pleasure. One person uses these eyes and sees some cinema or something and he is happy. Another person uses the same eyes and reads certain books, so he becomes happy. Another person says, I have seen the Lord when I was sitting with open eyes. Bhagavan Rama, Bhagavan Krishna has come in front of me and he gave darshan. Now the question is this vision also Yehi samsparshaja boga or not? Is this vision also will be a source of dukkha or not? Shastra says certainly it will be a dukkha. Because what is the rule? Anything which has beginning and end will be the source of dukkha. That is why people who get darshan, it is nice compared to the ordinary cinema seeing. Seeing the Bhagavan is very nice. But still, you have to understand, if that vision has a beginning, it will have an end also. So suddenly Bhagavan will disappear. Then you have to cry. In Bhagavatam, Bhagavan does this leela. To teach this only. How to teach this humanity? With Gopikas, he was doing rasa leela. So nicely he was talking and playing with them. And when they are little bit arrogant about their privilege of being with the Bhagavan, he suddenly disappears. You have to read that Bhagavatam portion, it is full of tears, oh tears. They go and ask the creeper, have you seen my Krishna? Which Krishna? So far he was dancing with us, have you seen our Krishna? Oh Lata, you please tell. Oh Neem tree, you please tell. Like that they go on, cry and cry and cry. And suddenly Bhagavan again comes back. They are very happy, oh happy. Very, very, very happy. That means what? Any vision, whether it is ordinary vision, like cinema seeing also is vision only. Eh?
Somebody projects you, so you see that, you have that vision. Similarly, it is extraordinary vision like Daiva Darshanam, that also is subject to arrival and departure. Therefore, that also will be the source of unhappiness. Therefore, at one moment, our Gopika Singh, hey Bhagavan, you can come and go with regard to your physical form or a particular form. We challenge you to leave us from our heart. Hastam ukshipya yatosi. You give up our hands and simply disappear. Hastam ukshipya yatosi. Kim paurusham. What is their great thing in that? Yadi niryat hrudayat. If you can leave from our heart, then we will consider Ganayami Paurusham. We will consider you as a great person. What is the meaning? You can never leave us from our heart. Because you are Antaryami. Nakalu Gopika Nandano Bhavan Akila Dehinam Antaratma Dhrik. You are the Antaratma of all the bodies. We don't consider you as ordinary son of Gopika. That is Yashoda. We don't consider you as the son of Yashoda, we consider you as a reality which exists in every body, in the heart of every living being. If you have this knowledge, then you can play. Going also will be happy, coming also will be happy. But if you don't have this knowledge, if you depend upon for happiness only upon the vision, then the very Daiva Darshanam, divine visions also will be a source of unhappiness. Ordinary man cries for money. Extraordinary saint cries for Bhagavan. That's all. But cry is cry. You cry what? Ordinary person cries for ordinary pleasures. Extraordinary sage and saint cries for extraordinary vision. So therefore, anything which comes and goes, a yogi sits in meditation, one day he gets samadhi, but how many days he can stay in that samadhi? He has to come back, he has to open his eyes at least after 2 days or 3 days or maximum 10 days. When he comes out, he feels like a scorpion biting, because he was so happy forgetting his individuality in his nirvikalpa samadhi. So what happens? Any sound can make him to get anger. After coming from samadhi, if you want to get anger, what is the use of that samadhi? You tell. After seeing the Lord, if you continue to cry, what is the use of seeing the Lord? But that is a stage of spiritual life. Many sages and saints, those who are pure in heart, had the vision, but that is not the criterion to be called as man of wisdom. Therefore, Bhagavan says, convert every sense object as ordinary object in the creation. See, every object is an object. But because of ignorance, we have converted them as sense object. Certain objects we have converted into sense object. Nobody converts poison as sense object. Why? Anybody says, sir, today I want to drink snake poison. Let me see this particular type of snake has particular. Each type of snake has one poison. Okay. Levels of intensity. So let me see, sir, today. People drink, na? Today I drink wine, tomorrow some other varieties, back paper, something. Is there, na? So like that. Don't ask how you know the brands. I see the boards, wine boards. So nobody converts that poison as a sense object. Why? Because they know. If you try to convert the poison as a sense object, the fellow will not be there to enjoy that sense pleasure. He will die. So there are so many things in the creation. Certain things only we convert as sense object. Those things which we find as the source of happiness, those things we brand them as sense objects. Actually they are objects, that's all. Correct? They are objects. They are not sense objects. So, say for sense objects, in Sanskrit vishayaha. Visinoti badnati iti vishayaha. That which binds you is called sense object. The beauty of Sanskrit language is every word has an inner meaning. Karana nama they call it. Why it is called sense object? Because it binds you through the senses. Therefore it is called sense object. What is the name for object in the creation? Padartaha. Padasya artaha padartaha. So Bhagavan says, let those objects be a neutral one in the creation. According to your ignorance, you take it as either source of dukkham or source of sukham. Give up that external certificate you give to that object. Understand? Ice cream is the source of sense object, we say. Ice cream is what? Nothing but what? Combination of milk or something, sugar or something. Correct? Sugar is sugar. Why call it as a source of happiness? So give up that idea that so and so particular object is the source of happiness. How you can give up that idea that so and so object is the source of happiness? Bhagavan says two methods are there. One method is entire creation is manifestation of the Lord. Vishvam Vishnuhu iti jnanena. All things in the creation is nothing but the manifestation of Lord. So I cannot have particular attraction or particular aversion towards anything in the creation. I can use anything which I want, but I cannot have attraction or aversion. This is one method. Another method is all these things are nothing but nama rupa mithya apara prakriti. They don't have an iota of happiness. Happiness is brought out from my own real nature. In the last class, I told the dog story. Dog philosophy, we are all dog philosophers. What is the philosophy of dog? Before biting that dry bone, I did not get blood. After biting the dry bone, I got blood. Therefore, dry bone is the source of blood. This is called dog philosophy. Before seeing the cinema, I was not happy. After seeing the cinema, I am happy. Therefore, cinema is the source of happiness. Our Acharya Swamiji used to say, dogs can have this wrong philosophy because they are stable with four legs. They will not fall from that philosophy. But poor human being cannot have because he is managing with only two legs. Any one leg goes means what? He has to fall. But even if you take out one leg of the dog, three legs are there too. So it is stable. It can stay with that wrong philosophy. So Shastra says here, understand that it is either Ishvara Swarupam or it is Mithya. Mithya means what? That which is available for experience and at the same time that which is not truth. Sunrise is Mithya. It is available for experience. But it is not the truth. Static earth is the mithya. The idea that earth is static is mithya. It is available for our experience, but it is not the truth. If you understand that entire world is running and your land also is running, suppose, will you purchase land? Will you purchase? Land also moving, if you have that idea, will you purchase flat? One day you will be in Bangalore, next day Delhi, next day Bombay. Correct? You will not have address at all. Understood? So those things are apparent truths, not the reality. Nothing deserves either our attachment or our aversion. Neither we can like them and hold on to them, nor we can hate them and reject them. Nothing you can reject in the creation. Shastra says, don't hold on them. Don't hold on them. Don't hate them. Use with all reverence. Entire creation has an utility. It is given with particular purpose. Use that particular object with that particular purpose. To cut your nails, there is a nail cutter. Don't use butcher's sword. What will happen? That mutton shop they keep, na? So this fellow keeps the nail and cuts. What will happen? Everything has one purpose. Even a needle has a purpose.
Understand?
Use them with all reverence. What is the sign of using them with reverence? You use in a proper way. And as much as necessary, that much only use. Neither you underuse nor you misuse. What we do generally, if it is nice, simply we go on gulp. The tongue is misused. Chakli, muruku. So go on, munch and munch and munch. If nothing is there, bubble gum you munch. And teeth is overused. So it will get shaken. Then after 40 years, you should say, I am overused. My duty hours are over. Please relieve me. If you don't relieve me, I will get relieved automatically. Understood? Every organ has one particular power. That's all. So use them. Use them for what? Not for living. Not for living. Living has some other purpose. Use them and live. Live for the sake of finding your infinite nature. So that is the teaching. Neither raga nor dvesha. Shankaracharya writes here, tasmat na samsare sukam gandhamatram api asti iti buddhva vishaya mruga trishnikayaha indriyani nivartaye. Mruga trishnika. Mruga trishnika means mirage water. As though it appears there is a source of water, but in the desert if you see, it appears as though it is a water source, but actually it is mirage water. Not only your thirst will not be quenched, but your thirst will be increased. That's what in Bhagavatam Yayati says, who has undergone 2000 years of sense pleasures. 1000 years he lived. Again one more 1000 years he lived with all sense pleasures. That Yayati says, Najatu kamah kamanam upabhogena shamyati. By providing sense objects to your sense organs never satisfied, satiated. It will ask, what next, what next? Give more, give more, give more. Even after 70 years, even after declaring that you are diabetic and cholesterol patient, the tongue will ask little bit ghee, two drops ghee you put. Anna-shuddhi they call it. So whole life he has lived with that ghee. Without ghee he cannot touch. And even after declared that he is highly cholesterol, tongue will ask little bit chicken piece. Nothing is there. That smell, curry masala should be there. The najata kama kama naam upabhogene shamyati. Havisha vartmavatu. So you put ghee to quench the fire. Will the fire quench? No, it will increase. Huya eva, something like that, that shloka goes. So here, Shankaracharya says, Indriyani tasma nivartaye. Have sense control. Whenever is necessary, that much only you should use your sense organs. Get something, go back to your original purpose. Like getting down from train and taking some eatables and go back where we are going back. Again, we are going back to the train, correct? Our own part of the mind will be always with train, correct? Whether you are purchasing dosa, idli, masala vada, anything, one eye will be train, idiya ogitta, idiya ogitta. Any sound, you are anxious. That much of anxious you should be with regard to spiritual life. So therefore, nivartayet. Nivartayet means withdraw. Withdraw from what? Withdraw your sense organs from indulgence. Withdraw your mind from dependence. Withdraw your intellect from satyatva buddhi. Buddhi says it is real. Whatever buddhi says that it is real, to that entity only we are attached. In dream we get 1 crore rupee as lottery money. We are not attached. Why? Buddhi has shown, hey, it is dream money, it is not useful, your bank balance will not increase. So don't bother about that, it has been disappeared. But waker money, 10 rupees is gone means vegetable wala has taken 10 rupees extra from you means what? Especially mothers will be very much anxious and angry, and up to next day they will wait. Hey, yesterday 10 rupees you have cheated. Like that they remember and take back that. Whole life is cheated by the sense organs. They are not bothered. But 10 rupees is cheated, they are bothered. Whole life goes waste. Without any quality thinking, they are not bothered.
But when they select the vegetable and mango, something in the fruit, in the pakkam path, on the pakkam path, whether it is nice or ripened, tasty, and asking for one sample also, after eating only we purchase. So much careful we are in purchasing small, small things. Shastra says, you have lost. Iha ched aveti tata satyamasti na ched iha aveti mahati vinashti. Entire life you spent with only with the sensual pressures. What life it is. Entire life is wasted. So therefore, nivartaye, restrain your sense organs from indulging. Restrain your emotional personality, that is mind, from dependence. And restrain your intellectual personality from satyatva buddhi. These ideas are there in the Kathopanishad. The 8-year-old boy says, when Yamadharmaraja offered, blank check he offered. Our Nachiketas went to Yamadharmaraja because of his father's promise that I will give you to Mrityu. After going there, he asked a question. Do you know that thing which does not come under any of the 3 periods of time and which does not come under either under the category of cause or under the category of result and which does not come under either good or bad? Anyatra dharmat, anyatra dharmat, anyatra asmat krita kritat, anyatra bhutascha bhavyascha yat tat pashyasi tad vada. Don't bluff me. If you know answer, you please tell. To ask this question, a person must be PhD holder. Not present day PhD holders. In those days, PhD holders were there, experts. So to ask this question, what is the question? Is there an entity which doesn't come under the frame of time, past, present and future, and which doesn't come under the framework of cause and effect, and which doesn't come under the framework of good and bad? Any one thing you point out in the creation, anything you point out, it has to have existence. When it existed, time comes. How it existed, good or bad comes. In which condition it existed, either it is causal condition or as a result it existed. Expressed condition or unexpressed condition. So Yamadharmaraja startled to hear this question. What a mind it is, an 8-year-old boy. So he thought, he told, even devatas don't know answer. Devatas don't know answer. Even if you explain, devatas cannot understand this answer. Therefore, please don't ask this question. That boy was so intelligent, he told, that is the reason I ask you, my dear master, I ask you this question. What devatas cannot understand, human being should understand. That is the grandness of human being. Shastra has kept human being always higher than the devatas with regard to knowledge, with regard to self-restraint, with regard to tapas, with regard to renunciation. Shastra has kept always human being as the highest position. So this boy says, that is the reason I have come to you and ask. Because you are the Kala Tattva, you know all the past, present and future. So you should know this. Please tell if you know. Otherwise, don't bluff. Then Yamadharmaraja says, question is nice. I know the answer also. But why unnecessary at this age, 8-year-old boy, instead of enjoying mother's love, instead of playing with children, instead of getting lots of degrees, instead of going for marriage life, why you unnecessarily spoil your head and asking all these unwanted questions? Don't ask this question. I will give a compensation for your question. Because he has initially promised, whatever you ask, I will give. So this fellow asked this question. He never thought of, Yamadharmaraja never thought of, this fellow will ask this question. So now he cannot say, I cannot give. He has to answer. So he says, change your question. Ask some other thing. Ask the long life. Ask all strength. And with all money, wealth, sense pleasures, and heavenly women. And not only they will be heavenly, they will serve you also. I will give chariot, car, everything I will give. So Nachiketa says,
keep all those things with you. Shobhava martyasya edanta kaitate sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha api sarvam jivitam alpameva tavaiva vaha tavanritya gite. Yamadharmaraja, keep all your chariot. Vaha means vahana. Nritya and Gita, music, dance, entertainment and traveling equipment. Ella nive itkolli. I don't want why? Because what you call sense pleasure is nothing but waste of energy. He says, what an understanding it is. Go on, you see the TV, energy of the eyes are wasted. Go on, hear FM radio, energy of the ears are wasted. People say, nah, 24 hours you continuously hear, the drum gets spoiled. So, sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha api sarvam jivitam alpameva. Our Acharya Swamiji, whenever he chants it sarvam, he will tell sarvam, one round should come. Entire creation is involved in that sarvam. Any blessed thing is what? Alpameva. That's what here Bhagavan says, adi antavantaha. With regard to time, they are finite. With regard to quality, they are finite. With regard to space, they are finite. So I don't know whether I will leave tomorrow or not. What is the use of having palatial house? What is the use of having people? What is the use of having wealth? I myself am not sure whether I am going to live in this house, correct? Therefore, I don't want to keep with you. And he says, he gives a challenge to Yamadharmaraja. Na vittena tarpaniyo manushyaha lapsyamahe vittam adrakshma chetva jivishyamo yavadu ichasitvam varanam yesha varastritiya. I want this third boon only. Can you point out one individual in the entire creation who can be happy just by having wealth? Can you point out any wealthy person being happy? And you are seducing me that I will give a lot of wealth. Can you find out any one person who has enjoyed this entire creation without the fear of losing it? Last class I saw, na, if the dog is given food, if it is a stray dog, they are always anxious about another street dog. He sees that side, this side, and somebody, if it comes, barks the dog within that moment, it gulps some morsel of food, and again it fights and gulps. Like that only we are also living. Our life also with all anxious moments. Therefore, teshu na ramate. Intelligent person, don't indulge in them. That is the idea. Being important for our day-to-day life, I dealt it very elaborately. One idea you keep in mind, this life is not for pleasure. But pleasures are inevitable. How much you should have, since they are inevitable, how much you should have, you have to fix a boundary. Never cross that boundary. Never try to have them in unethical way. Dharmic pleasures are allowed in our culture. If you want to have particular pleasure of being with someone and sharing your life, Shastra says, marry, then share your life. Now people share their life in the name of, now a new term has come. Live in relationship. Are for dogs and for human beings, what is the difference? They also have live in relationship. Today they live together. They don't allow others to interfere with them. Then they go on their own way. What is the difference? So Shastra says, without driving license, don't try to drive. With license also, don't overdrive. Entire practical meaning of the shloka is what? You cannot avoid driving. You cannot avoid using the things. You cannot avoid operating the sense organs. Once you operate the sense organs, you have to use the things. Understand? So Shastra says, operate in a proper way. In a colloquial language or modern language or traffic language, you can say, don't drive without license. Don't overdrive with license also. Just because you have been given license, you cannot go 180 kilometers, 70 kilometers. Understood? There must be a limitation. Because the idea is what? Driving has a purpose to reach some destination. Correct? The idea is what? Driving has a purpose. The purpose is what? We want to drive for what? to reach a place. If you drive without following the traffic rules, where you will end up? There is a traffic board. Go slow. Bumper is there. Speed breaker is there. Go slow. When they say, before the bumper or after the bumper, the board is there? Before the bumper. So precaution is given. Understood? So you say, why should I go slow? I will bump along with the bumper. What will happen? Back pain will come. Then another board comes. Take diversion. People are at work. So you say, being a free citizen of this nation, a democratic and secular country, I am a free person. Why should I obey these fellows? I will not take diversion. Where you will end? You will end up in the ICU unit. Emergency ward you will end up. Very journey is gone. Understood? So therefore Shastra says, follow all traffic rules. Because in traffic means other fellows also are there. You have to take care of them also. Even if you are good at driving, another fellow may be a drunkard and driving also. So you have to protect your car and vehicle and yourself from that danger. So follow, take a safe mileage, they call it. 60 to 80, safe mileage. When traffic is there, bring down your vehicle speed, 20, 25. Never say it's a time waste. People think nowadays, in traffic means bringing down the speed is time waste. Hey, it's not time waste, it's an intelligent driving. If you say that time only I will go 60 or 80, what will happen? Again, emergency ward will end up. So follow all the rules. Have the capacity to drive that vehicle. So get the permission from the competitive authority. That's what license, correct? You prove your capacity that I have the capacity to drive this. Nowadays that also is bribe. That is different case. But in life case, you cannot bribe anyone. Because life is governed by Bhagavan. Natural laws. You cannot bribe the universal laws. So our Acharya Swami used to say, you cannot rub with the universal laws. Because they are universal laws. Being universal laws, they are constant. You have to adjust your life according to that constants. Suppose you go towards the Himalaya, it's a constant. You are a moving entity. You say, this Himalaya has come in front of me. I want to remove it. What will you do? So how you remove? I will go like goats, dash na one each other. Goats, if they have fighting mood, go and dash with head. You go run fast and dash. What will happen? What will happen? Himalaya, nothing happens. Not even pebble comes out. From here, from head, many things come out. Or there is a tree, huge tree, obstructing your vehicle. So you go and remove your banyan and with all strength you rub your back. What will happen? In the process you are rubbed off. 10 days you will remember. I have done something which I should not have done at all. Correct? Constance, you cannot have choice. Certain rules are constants in your life. There are certain instruments. Through that instrument only you can have. You cannot taste the jalebi through ears. Daily I am bored. Simply putting in mouth. Daily I am bored. Today I will pour the jalebi through ears. What will happen? Rule it is. Understood? You have to follow those rules. Every system has a rule. And it is universal also. These rules are universal rule. One rule is nobody wants to be cheated, nobody wants to be hurt, nobody wants to be lied upon. Correct? You ask any person, you go to Oxford University professor, sir, do you like to be cheated? He will say no. In his fine English, he will say no. Or you go to tribals. So in their own language, they will tell what? No only. Nobody in the creation wants to be hurt, wants to be cheated. Same way, you also don't want to be cheated, don't want to be hurt. So therefore, you should not do to others. When you expect that everybody should tell truth to me, everybody should be compassionate towards me, sympathizing with me, and they should not rob my family, rob my wealth, insult my family members, you also should follow the same rule. The problem is with human mind, ignorant mind, because of selfishness, pressure, it demands those things from the society, and it doesn't fulfill its duty towards the society. It wants privileges, but it doesn't fulfill its duties. So everybody becomes a cheating one as much as possible. If you are a smart person, you can live in the world. Be smart. Be smart means what? Learn how to lie. Lie after the lie. To hide that lie, another lie. To hide that lie, another lie. That's called smart. Be smart means what? How you can make easy money without working hard. How you can cheat people. That's called smart. These things will not work. Work with regard to individual life, with regard to social life. This entire process of greediness is because of what? Because of this one rule which is forgotten in the society, modern society especially. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkayo naya evate. Whatever you enjoy through your contact between sense objects and sense organ are subject to suffering. So we'll go forward. Bhagavan again says, Shakno dihaivaya sodum praksharira vimokshanad kama krodhod bhavam begam sayukta sasuki naraha. In this shloka, Bhagavan defines the human being. Who is Naraha? Who is human being? He says, Yaha kama krodaha udbhavam vegam sodum shaknoti. The one who is capable of restraining the impulse born out of desire and anger. Nobody can completely wipe off desire. Even Bhagavan has desires. I told you, na? In the earlier classes I told you, even Bhagavan has desires. That's what Shastra says. So kamayate bahusyam yam prajaye eti. Saha akamayate, let me become many. That's also in desire. Understood? Even Bhagavan has desire to be born as an avatara, to establish dharma in this creation, and to bless the devotees. Even Bhagavan has desires. But they are all dharmic desires. They are all with loka kalyana, idea with loka kalyana. Here, Bhagavan says, nobody can stop desiring. Nobody can wipe out the desire and the anger. But if you are a human being, you should have the capacity to withstand the onslaught born out of kama and krodha. Every individual mind is bruised by this desire and anger. If he is a human being, he will have the power to restrain them. Vegham is the word. Vegham means what? Impulse, fit. He said, in a fit of anger, he did it. What he did? He was angry, so he threw a stone and killed a person. That's over. In a fit of anger, they call it. It's an impulse. Afterwards, the person himself will have guilt or will have worry that why should I have done like that. But in that particular moment, that's why in Western nations, if anybody is angry, they don't ask, why you are angry? They will ask, are you mad? That means what? Beautiful, I like this expression. Suppose mother is angry with child, the child will ask, Mom, are you mad? That means what? Initially, our sadhus did not understand. Why this child is asking, are you mad? Mad is the word which we understand in another connotation, correct? Mad means insane person. But in Western culture, the expression is, anybody who is angry, that particular moment, he is a mad fellow. Because he doesn't know anything what is going to happen. What type of words are going to thrown away like fire bomb shells? 20 years you have to remember that wound. Ordinary bomb means you can operate and take it out and forget. These oral bomb shells are there, na? You will remember, especially mothers. That day, marriage day, when Shashtyabdha Purti, 60th marriage day is happening, and actual original marriage day, something might have happened. That mother-in-law who has passed now might have told, that day your mother told, like that they will remember 40 years before what happened. Because what's that powerful bomb? In a fit of anger, people use certain words and people go in blows also, and kill the people who are very dear and near. In the fit of anger, Bhagavan says, a person who has the capacity to put brake is a good driver. Correct? You put accelerator. Everybody can do accelerator. Pressing accelerator is not a big thing. You should know how to put brake on. So, Bhagavan uses the word vegam. You cannot avoid them in your life. As long as you are ignorant person, you cannot avoid them being desireful or being angry. But if you have a little bit common sense, you can stop the impulse. Completely you can wipe off only after the knowledge. After knowledge, what happens? Even though you are angry, you are not angry. Krishna was angry and killed so many rakshasas, na? With love and laughing only, he killed all. So for others, it is an act of anger. Killing is certainly an act of anger, correct? You cannot casually go and kill someone. You can pat someone casually. Hello, hi. Like that you can pat. You cannot kill someone, hello, hi. Correct? Yeah, all the psychologists are there in Gita. So you need extra pushing. And that pushing, where it will end, we don't know. So Bhagavan says, don't allow yourself to be pushed by this propeller. And which creates that propelling power? Intensity. You cover the gas cooker. All modern instruments are helpful for explaining Vedantic ideas. You know, gas cooker is there. Below, there is a fire. And inside, there is some water or something. And you have covered it. So as even the pressure is created, that should be allowed to go out. So you put a lid also and cover with whistle. It gives a warning. Hey, I am overpressured. Relieve me, otherwise I will burst. Similarly, in our mind also whistle comes. Today I am irritated. There are some parents. Today I am very angry. Don't talk with mummy. Okay? Like that. It's nice. Tell. Openly tell. So child also will know. Father is mood out. You can get mood out because of employer or so many things are there to get mood out. So as you enter, you say to your children, dad is today not in good mood, we will see after. Like that you go and shut yourself, have a shower and sit in prayer or something. Then, kama krododbhavam vegam sodum shakno. Pressure is released. We have a lot of techniques to release our pressure. One technique is taking bath, enter the puja room and start scolding the Bhagavan. Why you made me like this idiot? Why you kept me like this idiot? Why you have not given satsanga to me? Why you have not given nice things in my childhood itself? Like that you start scolding. There is one method. You want to scold someone, nah? And there is a place wherein there is no reply at all. Any amount of balls you can throw and it will not come back to you. Same thing if you do to your parents or spouse and children, what will happen? Even to dog you cannot do this. Okay? Go on, beat the dog, what will happen? Dog. It will bite you. That's what our Swamiji used to say, our Acharya Swamiji. Very humorous person. High philosophy will tell in a very humorous way. So there are some families, as even father comes, mother will tell, hey, Papa has come, Papa has come, Papa has come. Children will be in their own world with the Pogo channel or something, na? So how to protect the children from father's anger? Because which mood this fellow comes, you don't know. So mother, hey, Papa has come, Papa has come, Papa has come. How she knows? Dog barks. By smelling, house dog barks. Papa has come, Papa has come. So children go inside the room. And this wife also, mother also, goes as though she is very busy in cooking and other thing. She also goes. So he comes inside. Who is inside? All are there. Come. Allow. That fellow has to go to his room. Don't go immediately to him. There are some fellows, when they enter, even dogs go to their room. Afraid of this fellow, because he will beat. Not only family members, dogs are afraid. So he is to tell. So, kama krodhodbhavam vegam yes sodam. One who can control the impulse or the fit of anger and desire, when prak sharira vimokshanat, before the fall of the body, that is in the very life itself, saha yuktaha saha suki saha naraha. He is a man of integrity, he is a man of happiness. In fact, he alone can be called as human being. One who can control his desires and anger. The success in life is in this controlling power. People think that success in life depends upon how many desires you have fulfilled. Understood? That's a wrong idea, you know. Wrong idea born out of Western philosophy. How many desires you have fulfilled? Have you enjoyed this? Have you enjoyed that? Have you enjoyed this? Like that they ask. You have not traveled in Ferrari? Oh, that means what? Failure. You have not lived in 5-star hotel? That means what? Failure. But Shastra says, success in life is the capacity, how much capacity you have to neutralize the success and failures. Success in life is the capacity or strength to neutralize both successes and failures. To accept both success and failures. If you are eccentric with regard to success, your life is gone. If you are dejected or depressed with regard to failures, your life is gone. How much you are able to take both these things with all equanimity of mind, that is the criterion of success. More details we will see in the next class. These are all psychological shlokas. So, I will deal with elaborately so that others also will get benefit. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmani Pranadakleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha.